Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 674, titled The Next Generation Takes the Stage, subtitled Caution, Neo-Nazis at Work. This program is being recorded on May 24th of the year 2009, and once again, this is Memorial Day weekend, and a big shout-out to our men and women in uniform. We're going to begin, this program basically is going to take a look at Nazis, the next generation. I don't like the term neo-Nazis, although that's sort of the parlance that has come to be accepted, and their various activities around the world. And for the record, 669, we took a look at, among other people, a gentleman named Poplawski, who killed several cops in Pittsburgh. That has not had a lot of publicity. Here in the Bay Area, for example, a dirtbag up in Oakland gunned down four Oakland police officers. And that particular story has dominated, had huge, huge news play here in the Bay Area, and quite a bit nationally. On the other hand, when Mr. Poplawski, a Nazi slash white supremacist, and also someone who has fallen under the sway of the interrelated so-called 911 truth movement, a nice chunk of which intersects very comfortably with Nazi and fascist milieu, plural. Poplawski, by the same token, really has had very little coverage as well, and far less coverage has come to a guy, the only mention of which I've seen here. This is a gentleman named Joshua Cartwright, a 28-year-old National Guardsman who killed two cops in Pennsylvania, Florida. Now, when cops get killed, generally speaking, it is a big, big, big story, and properly so. But it is very interesting to see the relative lack of publicity that has been given to two Nazi-slash-white supremacist-slash-fascist cop killers, as opposed to people here, that the guy here in Oakland, a parolee, who killed four police officers. We're going to take a look to begin with at the Boston.com website. This is by Joseph Williams of the Boston Globe. It's Dateline Washington. Obama election spurs wave of hate group violence. And again, it's from the Boston Globe of 5/11/2009. While the inauguration of the first black president has lessened racial tensions for most Americans, it has set off a wave of violence in the white supremacist fringe, with anti-hate groups attributing six recent killings, including the ambush last month of three Pittsburgh police officers and the fatal shootings last month of two Florida's deputies, in part to anger over President Obama's election. Now, we talked about Mr. Poplawski, again, who is not only a follower, not only a Nazi slash white supremacist, but someone who would fall under the sway of the Nazi and white supremacist related elements of the so-called 911 truth movement. And those areas of intersection are considerable, sadly. How much publicity have you heard, though, about this? And again, we talked about Mr. Poplawski in For the Record 669. We have heard very little about Joshua Cartwright. Who is he? Skipping down on the article, academics and anti-bias groups agree that people like Poplawski, Cummings, and Joshua Cartwright, a 28-year-old National Guardsman, nascent white supremacist, and militia enthusiast who died in a gun battle after killing two sheriff's deputies in Pensacola, Florida, are on the fringes of American society and hold little political influence. Well, I wish I could say that Nazis and fascists were on the fringes of American society, but sadly, fascism was not something that was on the fringes of American society, as we've looked at in so many different broadcasts. And as we looked at in the For the Record show, actually a series of sorts called Specialized Knowledge and Abilities, it has been a goal of the new generation of Nazis and white supremacists to infiltrate police and military organizations in order to acquire, quote, specialized knowledge and abilities. In that context, we're going to jump over to Germany and take a look at the banning of an NPD party leader, Udo Voigt, from a German military association. He was a Bundeswehr reservist. The following is from the local. This is a German website. It is from the local of May 20th of 2009. Neo-Nazi leader banned from German military association, and it reads in part as follows. Leader of the neo-Nazi NPD party, Udo Voigt, has been kicked off the DBWV German Military Association after being sentenced to incitement of hatred and slander in a racial discrimination trial last month, broadcaster RBB reported on Wednesday. The DBWV's leadership decided unanimously to exclude Voigt from the organization due to the April 24th verdict, Lieutenant Colonel Ulrich Kirsch told RBB. Voigt, a captain in the Bundeswehr Reserves, belonged to the association for some 30 years, but now faces disciplinary action in a military court. If he loses his military status in these proceedings, he also faces being barred from the Military Reserve Association, too, Kirsch said. Voigt and two other NPD leaders were found guilty of offending German national footballer Patrick Omoyele, who was born in Germany to a Nigerian father and a German mother, in a World Cup pamphlet printed in 2006. The cover of the banner showed a German football uniform with the caption, "White, not just a jersey color for a truly national team," unquote. And by the way, the NPD is arguably the top German neo-Nazi party. As we looked at in For the Record number 669, among their funding sources, according to a defector, are, quote, old Nazis living in Latin America, unquote. And this is as of this year. And guess who that might be, folks? And again, sadly, these people are not just on the fringes of society. Just take a look at the candidacy of Sarah Palin, and take a look at what she's basically appears to be a cat's paw for the Alaskan Independence Party, and that party has very tangible Nazi and fascist connections. Once again, from that same German website, the local German blog site, I guess it is, this from the local of April 30th of 2009. Now, bearing in mind that there are documented links between various Nazis inside of various German military organizations and the larger German political Nazi political organizations. And in turn, as we will look at in a few minutes and as we've looked at in the past, there are long-standing links between Nazi and fascist elements and Islamic fascist elements as well. These go back to the pre-World War II and World War II period, where the fascist Muslim Brotherhood was allied with Nazi Germany and fascist Italy. Then the Brotherhood jumped to various intelligence services, first British intelligence, then the CIA. And in the post-anti-Soviet Afghan war, once again, we've seen the Muslim Brotherhood hooking up with fascist elements around the world. In that context, and in light of the presence of people like Udo Voigt within the German military establishment, it's interesting to contemplate the extent to which they might constitute a fifth column working with Islamists in Afghanistan, where German military forces have been taking casualties in the battle with the Taliban. Well, the following, Taliban possibly tapping Berlin's secrets, again from the local of April 30th of 2009, reads in part, deadly attacks on the German military by the Taliban in Afghanistan this week have led intelligence experts to suspect the Islamist group may have access to German government information. Supposedly, the Taliban had specific details of what was supposed to be a secret visit by Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier to the country this week. According to a Western intelligence officer in Kabul, there are clear signs, unquote, that the Taliban has access to secret information from the German government. In so far unknown ways, the Taliban has their fingers in German posts, unquote, the official told news agency DDP. 3 weeks ago, a secret visit to the country by Chancellor Angela Merkel and Defense Minister Franz Josef Jung was overshadowed by a rocket attack on German forces in the northern city of Kunduz. No one was injured in the attack, but a Taliban speaker at the time said that the group had known about her visit. Well, again, one wonders to what extent there may actually be a fifth column within the German military, which is betraying the German combat troops on the ground. It apparently has already led to some casualties, including fatalities. One wonders to what extent that Islamist Nazi slash liaison that I talked about, that Islamist slash Nazi liaison I talked about, and the fifth column that might exist within the German military establishment is in fact betraying the German troops on the ground in Afghanistan. And one wonders then in that context what might be the goal. There has been widespread, there is considerable dissent about the German military presence in Afghanistan, in Germany, and one wonders if heightened casualties might actually lead popular sentiment to demand the withdrawal of German forces from Afghanistan, which would place still more burden, both military and political and economic on the American forces that reside there and that are going to be bumped up this coming summer in sort of an Afghan surge. We're also going to take a look at recent developments in German, quote, neo-Nazism. I don't like the term neo. They're just the next generation, but it's passed into popular usage. From Spiegel Online of May 19th of 2009, German authorities warn of rise of anarchist, unquote, neo-Nazis. New figures from Germany's domestic intelligence agencies show that the number of far-right crimes in Germany increased by 16% in 2008. Officials warn of the rise of black bloc-style anarchist, unquote, neo-Nazis who actively seek violence at demonstrations. Authorities in Germany have warned of a worrying new tendency within the far-right scene, the rise of violent anarchist, unquote, neo-Nazis. Heinz Fromm, the president of Germany's domestic intelligence agency, the Office for the Protection of the Constitution, warned Tuesday of a new phenomenon within the far-right scene. Presenting the agency's 2008 report in Berlin, he said that over the last 2 years, a scene had emerged of, quote, anarchist, unquote, neo-Nazis, who dress similar to the so-called black bloc of far-left anarchists and who deliberately seek violence at demonstrations. I've spoken about the neo-Nazi black bloc alliance in the past, and it appears to be becoming more formal and more concretized. I mean, by the way, again, in this country, there has been considerable success of Nazi and fascist elements at forming liaisons with elements of the so-called progressive sector. Points of intersection and points of ideological agreement include not only, again, large elements of the so-called 9-1-1 truth movement, the controlled demolition characters, and so forth. Also, anti-Israeli and pro-Palestinian elements have also, or ideology has also proved to be a common element and point of practical liaison between Nazi and progressive elements in the United States. And indeed, as we looked at in two miscellaneous archive shows, which, like everything else I've done for 30 years, is now available for download for free at spitfirelist.com. This represents a more recent development of a relatively old phenomenon of liaison between Islamist and some progressive and fascist elements. Skipping down in this Spiegel article, Wolfgang Schäuble, again, German official, Schäuble and Fromm also warned of the threat of Islamist terrorism in Germany. Although there has not been a successful Islamist terror attack in Germany to date, there was no reason for complacency, they said. Quote, "We are still in the crosshairs of violent Islamists," unquote, Schäuble warned, warning that Germany's military mission in Afghanistan is a thorn in the side of Islamists. "There are, quote, significant numbers of potential Islamist extremists in Germany," Schäuble said, "including converts to Islam. Many Islamists have traveled from Germany to Pakistan to attend al-Qaeda training centers, and there have been messages from terrorist groups clearly targeting Germany in recent months. Certain Muslim groups in Germany, such as the Islamist Mili Gorush movement, want to introduce Sharia law in Germany," the agency warned in its report. Schäuble also talked about the threat of far-left violence as well, and as the black bloc connection here proves, that there are elements of intersection. By the way, we've spoken in the past of Ahmed Huber. He's an individual who joins. He's a Muslim. He is a member of the board of directors of the bank Al-Taqwa. He is a protege not only of the Grand Mufti, the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement, and also a general in the Waffen-SS, and also a protege of Johann von Leers, later Omar Amin von Leers, who was in charge of anti-Semitic propaganda for Goebbels' propaganda ministry in the Third Reich, and then was placed in charge of the Institute for the Study of Zionism, unquote, under Nasser in Egypt. Ahmed Huber is not only a link between the old fascist/Islamists and the new, he is also a liaison person between the Muslim Brotherhood and the German NPD, the top German neo-Nazi party, and is a liaison person between German neo-Nazis and American neo-Nazis as well. And there's a lot of information about Ahmed Huber in the Spitfire archives, spitfirelist.com archives. There appears to be something of a diaspora or an emigration to Germany on the part of various neo-fascists. The following again is from The Local, that same German blog site. Is this from The Local of May 14th of 2009? A prominent Swedish right-wing extremist with ties to German neo-Nazis is relocating to Berlin, the Continent Europe Foundation, or KES, announced on Thursday. German intelligence agents view Patrick Brinkmann as a leading figure among right-wing extremists around the world. He founded the Continent Europe Foundation in 2004 in Sweden. The aim of the Continent Europe Foundation leader Patrick Brinkmann is to move to Berlin by 2010 at the latest and create a Europe-wide international of nationalists in cooperation with national organizations from all European people, the group said in a statement. Andreas Gramm, a Christian Democratic member of the Berlin State Legislature on Thursday, called the latest developments in the far-right scene worrying, unquote, and demanded more information from the Domestic Intelligence Service on the matter. Federal and state authorities keeping tabs on the neo-Nazi scene consider Brinkmann and his organization to be part of a new right, unquote, that operates internationally. His foundation now functions as a hub for extremists from around Europe, with two functionaries from Germany's neo-Nazi National Democratic Party, or NPD, on its advisory board. It also has ties to the extremist German People's Union, or DVU. Based in the Swedish city of Jönköping, the foundation describes itself as seeking to establish a, quote, greater European civilization, unquote, for, again quoting, a new common identity. So at least one Swedish, quote, neo-Nazi, unquote, is now contemplating emigrating to Germany in order to set up shop and begin working with some of his associates in the NPD. Again, we've spoken about the NPD at quite some length. The German People's Union, or DVU, the Deutsche Volksunion, is a very interesting organization. We have not spoken about that in quite some time. That was founded by Gerhard Frey. Gerhard Frey is a German, I wouldn't call him a neo-fascist, because he represents something of a degree of institutional continuity from the German fascism of the Hitler period right on up through the early Cold War period and then the post-Cold War period. Gerhard Frey was the person, it was his Deutsche National Zeitung und Soldatenzeitung that published an interview with General Edwin Walker. And it was published on November 29th of 1963. In that interview, General Edwin Walker said that Lee Harvey Oswald had been the one who had fired the shot at him. Lee Harvey Oswald, of course, was the patsy in President Kennedy's assassination. One of the things that the Warren Commission used to attempt to prove that Lee Harvey Oswald was not an ideologically motivated assassin who killed a liberal president for political reasons was by demonstrating that he had attempted to shoot at the ultra-right-wing General Edwin Walker. Well, that information was supposedly disclosed to the world. It supposedly saw the light of day for the first time in early December. So I think it was December 4th. I'm operating from memory. But it was early December of 1963 in an interview that Marina Oswald gave to the FBI. Well, obviously, one need not be Sherlock Holmes to figure that if that supposedly surfaced for the first time in an interview that Marina Oswald, Oswald's widow, gave to Lee Harvey Oswald, or gave to the FBI in early December of 1963, then the fact that Edwin Walker himself disclosed that in an interview to the neo-Nazi National Zeitung and Soldatenzeitung on November 29th basically puts the whammy on the official version of that aspect of the altogether untenable Warren Commission version of the assassination of President Kennedy. Gerhard Frey, by the way, received funding from the CIA in order to start his paper and organization. He, in turn, hired former SS men, veterans of Goebbels' propaganda ministry, as editorial assistants. Gerhard Frey, by the way, also was a leading financial backer in the post-Cold War period of Russian fascist Vladimir Zhirinovsky. So this is an individual who has stretched his ties through a long, long period of time, and there's good discussion of Gerhard Fry in a For the Record show, and he's also discussed at considerable length in AFA program number 37, one of many Nazi connections to the assassination of President Kennedy. By the way, there is good discussion of Nazi elements that worked in conjunction with the shooting incident against General Edwin Walker. That in, among other programs, For the Record 120. And again, I can't stress strongly enough that listeners to the program who want to catch up, particularly newer listeners, should please avail themselves of the SpitfireList.com. Everything I've done is available for download for free on that website. Plus, there's all kinds of other things, a mini library of old anti-fascist books. It's an invaluable resource, and people should use it. As I like to say, use it or lose it. Read or bleed. If you don't study history, the world is a mystery. And a fascinating article, speaking of neo-fascists, David Duke, former Ku Klux Klan leader, veteran of the American Nazi Party, founded by George Lincoln Rockwell. By his own account, an individual has worked for the Central Intelligence Agency. Also was suspected by many Klan leaders of being a U.S. intelligence agent. An attendee, by the way, at President Ahmadinejad's Holocaust Denial Conference in December of 2006. David Duke has found a new calling in life, or at least that's what we're told. David Duke has apparently reemerged as something of a naturalist, a bird watcher in Austria. So Nature Boy Duke is the focal point of the following. This is from the Daily Telegraph in the United Kingdom. This is from the Telegraph of May 13th of 2009. Former KKK Grand Wizard living in Austria. David E. Duke, who was once a KKK Grand Wizard, runs a business selling photographs of rare birds and other wildlife in a village near Salzburg. The discovery has outraged his neighbors in Austria, which has struggled to shake off the scourge of a new wave of far-right politicians. Mr. Duke, who has previously denied Adolf Hitler used gas chambers in the Holocaust, has rented a house by the Zeller Lake near the city. Local Green Party politician Karl Ullinger said Mr. Duke roamed the Austrian Alps taking snaps of birds and wildlife and selling them on the Internet. He's become a bird watcher in Austria, skipping down in this of his newfound calling. Nature Boy Dukes has said, Duke said he lived a quiet life in Austria. Quote, I'm not in Austria for any political activities. I just come to Austria to relax. The mountains are beautiful. The Austrian Alps are just beautiful. There's beauty all over the world. I'm a writer, photographer, a speaker. I do all sorts of things, unquote. The hills are alive. Excuse me. I mean, it just reading that, it's very difficult. On the one hand, maybe to keep a straight face. On the other hand, to keep from puking. I seriously doubt that David Duke is doing that as his main line of work. He's probably there for political reasons. And, of course, he's got to have a cover, so he's bird watching. I wonder if he's keeping an eye on the eagle's nest in Austria. Maybe that's one of the rare elements of bird watching that he has been doing. Who knows? David Duke, by the way, is the focal point not only of a miscellaneous archive show called Is Duke a Spook?, examining the possibility that he might be an intelligence operative of some kind. But David Duke is also discussed at great length in AFA program number 13. That is the fourth of four major archive shows about the development of American fascism. And AFA 13 specifically deals with the Ku Klux Klan. One of the people that has talked about in considerable length in AFA 13 has passed away recently, and that is former Ku Klux Klan leader in Pennsylvania, Roy Frankhauser. The Reading Eagle of May 16th of 2009 carries an obituary for Roy Frankhauser. Longtime KKK leader Roy E. Frankhauser Jr. of Reading dies. It reads in part, the self-proclaimed head of the Ku Klux Klan in Pennsylvania died Friday in Spruce Manor Nursing Home, West Reading, with no known survivors. Roy E. Frankhauser, Jr., 69, who had operated the Mountain Church of Jesus Christ in the 100 block of South 4th Street, which doubled as the local KKK headquarters, had resided in Spruce Manor since November of 2006. And then goes on to describe some of Frankhauser's Ku Klux Klan activities. He, too, was a former member of the American Nazi Party, headed up by George Lincoln Rockwell. Rockwell, by the way, had his Arlington, Virginia name, address, and telephone number in the supposed communist Lee Harvey Oswald's address book at the time of Oswald's arrest. Oswald also had the name of another American Nazi Party member, Daniel Burroughs, in his address book as well. Burroughs and George Lincoln Rockwell worked with, among others, Maurice Brooks Gatlin, who was one of Guy Bannister's investigators in the 544 Camp Street, 531 Lafayette Place office that Guy Bannister used as a private right-wing investigative service. It also had served as a front, an epicenter for some of the anti-Castro paramilitary activities that were undertaken by the intelligence community in the early 1960s. And of course, as veteran listeners know, that 544 Camp Street, 531 Lafayette Place address was also one of the epicenters for some of the agitprop that was used to create the legend of Lee Harvey Oswald, the, quote, pro-Castro leftist, unquote. Maurice Brooks Gatlin Sr. was the attorney for George Lincoln Rockwell. The Bannister's office was an epicenter of anti-civil rights activity in the 1960s. Frankhauser was a very, very interesting fellow. Not only was he himself an apparent U.S. intelligence operative, described variously as a contract agent for the CIA and for the National Security Council, it was at Frankhauser's house in Pennsylvania that American Nazi Party member Daniel Burroughs committed suicide, or at least supposedly committed suicide. The official version has it that Burroughs took his own life after a New York Times article about him revealed that he was of Jewish heritage. But as Frankhauser put it, it was a bad case of suicide. Three bullets. It's a very bad case of suicide indeed. You want to pay very close attention to those three-bullet suicides. It was, of course, right as Jim Garrison's investigation of, among others, Guy Bannister and company was getting underway in New Orleans, really gathering steam, that Rockwell himself was assassinated in 1967. One of the myths, by the way, that a lot of people subscribe to is that people of this ilk are all more, you know, they're basically a bunch of rednecks with beer bellies hanging over Confederate flag belt buckles. There is that element to it, but that's by no means all there is to it. Rockwell, for example, had attended Brown University, an Ivy League school, and the head of the National Alliance and a former ANP member. This was... Oh, pause it for a second. I'm experiencing brain bubbles. William Luther Pierce was the head of the National Alliance. He had a Ph.D. in nuclear engineering. The head of the John Birch Society, Robert Welch, had attended Harvard University, dropped out to oversee the family's candy business. And independent oil man Clint Murchison, who, according to Minuteman founder Robert Depew in congressional testimony, was the main financier of George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party, had attended MIT. So, again, it's an element of very misplaced intellectual snobbery to view these people as, you know, quote, rednecks, unquote. Some of them may be, but a lot of them are anything but that as well. And if people don't get in the habit of shedding those stereotypes, they're going to find themselves in very bad shape indeed. By the way, For the Record program 188 has a lot of good information about the Rockwell Burroughs, Maurice Brooks Gatlin activities down in New Orleans. This, however, concludes For the Record program number 674. The Next Generation takes center stage, subtitled Caution, Neo-Nazis at Work. This program has been recorded on May 24th of 2009. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.